In a moment, you're going to hear an absolutely incredible story about James Templeton. He put it in a book called I Used to Have Cancer, How I Found My Own Way Back to Health. But wait till you hear what he has to say. And we'll take calls next hour on Coast to Coast AM. The CC Radio EP Pro, it's from C. Crane, and it's one of those classic radios from the past. It gives you the simplicity of needle and dial tuning. It has one button for power, one button for a bright display light. It doesn't have a clock or an alarm. You don't need that with that. And there's a voice music switch and bass and treble controls to fine-tune the audio to your perfect pitch. And it also has that patented twin-coil ferrite antenna in there, which makes AM listening sound surprisingly similar to FM. The CC Radio EP Pro has a line-in jack. You can connect your smartphone for audiobooks and podcasts for voice clarity, and you've probably never heard it like that before. You can order the CC Radio EP Pro by calling C. Crane at any time, including now, at 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863. Visit them online at ccrane.com. Also available at Bi-Mart locations and Amazon.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. James Templeton back with us. I'm going to have him explain what he went through, but let me read you his bio. 35-year-plus cancer survivor, healed himself from a terminal diagnosis with the use of alternative medicine and healing modalities. He has chronicled the journey in his book, I Used to Have Cancer, How I Found My Own Way Back to Health. As a visionary founder of the Templeton Wellness Foundation, he has since utilized his wisdom and experience to help others achieve optimum health and wellness. The foundation is a rich source of resources for anyone fighting cancer and includes a library of one-on-one videos of long-term cancer survivors who share what they are doing successfully to fight cancer, defying the odds, remaining cancer-free, vibrant, and healthy for life. James, welcome back to the program. It's been a couple of years. Good to have you.
George, it's great to be with you again. Yes, it has been about that long, and I'm so happy to be back.
How are you feeling, sir?
I'm feeling great. I've never felt better in my life, and I'm just busy trying to get the word out there and help as many people as I can and give people the hope that they really need to know that there's always a better way if they're not doing well with what they're doing already.
And you're going to tell us this incredible story of how you got this wretched disease, how you fought it, and what you've been doing to keep it away.
Yes, it's been, as you said, it's been over 35 years and since my last issue in the hospital, but I kind of had everything going, George, for me back then when I was a young fellow. I was 32 years old. I had, everything. I had a wife. I had a little daughter, and I had very successful businesses. I was an entrepreneur, and I was very ambitious back then, and I thought I was actually in pretty good health also. I was a runner. And I ran everywhere. I was working out and running and working all the time and, burning the candles at both ends, as they say. But I thought that I had life by the tail. And I was doing a lot of this back then because my father and my grandfather both died of heart disease at a very young age, 36 and 46. And my mother died. I had a little brother that died before that. And I just kind of felt that, hey, I don't want to be the next one. So that's why I was doing all this. But I had gotten into a lot of interesting things back then and reading some books. And there was a guy back then, his name was Jim Fix, and he was one of these guys that was the fitness guru and a runner and said if you run, you can avoid heart attacks and all that. So I wanted to be like Jim. And one day I'm sitting in my office and all of a sudden, I look in the paper, and it says, Jim Fix dies of a heart attack.
Wow. Oh, unbelievable.
And it just shocked me. I didn't know what to say. I was just sitting there, and I think I dropped the paper in my lap and said, oh, my goodness, maybe my plan's not so good after all. So, before I knew it, I decided to do one of these stress tests like you do when you get your heart checked out.
Yeah.
electrocardiogram and all that. So I go into a specialist and I get the stress test, and the doctor says, "Well, my friend," he says, "you've broke the record. You're in tremendous health. You're in tremendous shape. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing it." He said, "No one's done this well on this test before." He said, "There's only one thing that I can tell you. There's a mole on your back." He said, "It looks a little different." He said to me, "You know, if I was you, I'd get it checked out because it just looks a little strange, but I wouldn't worry about it." So I didn't worry about it. But before long, I went to a dermatologist, and I went into the dermatologist, and he made me take my shirt off, and he says, "Oh my God," he says, "I think you have melanoma."
Wow.
Well,
what did it look like, Jim?
Well, melanoma is like usually it's a dark spot on your back. It looked like a mole, but there was a lot of darkness in that mole. And it was probably, maybe quarter inch big around, and it was oblong a little bit.
Was it flat?
Yeah, well, a little raised, a little bit raised.
A little raised.
Not too high. You know, it wasn't anything scary looking, really, but it had this kind of long edge to it that was really dark. And I didn't know, and the doctor just says, "Look, this is melanoma. I know it is." He didn't know for sure, but he says, "We need to do surgery as soon as we can get you in here." He said, "We probably will have to remove a large area around that." So I didn't like his bedside manner, George, and I said, "Look, I'm going to get back to you." And I got up and left and was very upset, of course, and drove home and decided to get another opinion. And that's where it all started. I went to a dermatologist I'd seen before, and he says, "Well, it looks pretty, suspicious to me." But he said, "My wife had it, and she's doing fine. You probably won't ever, it probably won't be anything. If it is, it'll be an early stage." But, long story short, I ended up going to an oncologist that he recommended, and he was supposedly a renowned doctor, and he was the kind of doctor that you'd want to see, you would think, that dealt with these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I go in to see him. He says, "Well," he says, "it looks suspicious to me also." And he says, "Let's just remove it and see what it is. We'll never know if we don't." He took it out, took a big old chunk out of my back.
Did he take the whole thing out?
Oh, yeah, he took it all out. It was probably a 2-inch square. And he just took it out right there in the office and sewed it up. And I don't even know how he got it to close up, but he did. And he says, "Go on home. Don't worry. There's nothing you can do." He says, "I'll get back to you in a few days, and we'll know exactly what we're dealing with." Well, that's...
Then you got that call.
Yeah, and then I got the call. The call was over 2 weeks later, and I couldn't believe how long it was taking.
Do they want you in the office before they tell you, or they tell you over the phone?
No, they told me over the phone. And I had answered the phone, and he says, "I got some good news and I got some bad news." And it was one of those kind of calls. And he says, "The good news," he says, "is you've got melanoma." And I'm like, "Goodness.
That's good? What's the bad?"
What's good about that, right?
Yeah.
And then he says, "But the bad news," he said, "the bad news, it's very deep." And he says, "That means it's more serious. We've got to watch it." He says, "And it's a stage 4. And stage 4, he says, "is the worst level."
It means it's spreading, right?
Yeah, he says, "It's probably going to spread, and we're going to have to really keep an eye out." So, I did. I went back to him every 3 months or so. And, I was very upset, very worried, of course. Who wouldn't be? And I went back to him several times, and then one day I discovered that I had a lump in my groin, and I was very nervous then. And I called him, and he says, "Let's check this thing out. It's probably nothing, but I think we should do a little surgery, and we'll check you in the hospital, and we'll do a little surgery in the morning." He says to me, he says, "Look, I'm sure it's going to be just a small incision, and it won't be much to it, and we'll know exactly what it is. Hopefully it's nothing," that kind of deal. So I wake up in the hospital, and it wasn't a small incision. The incision was huge, and there was all these bandages, and I knew I was in trouble because...
They put you under for that, too.
Incision.
Right? Gosh, and they knocked you out for that?
Oh yeah, I was out and several hours in surgery. And the doctor comes in after I'm awake pretty well, and he comes in and he says, "Well," he says, "James," he says, "I'm very sorry, but this cancer has spread. It's spread into your lymphatic system."
Oh, geez.
And he says to me, he says, "We've got to get really aggressive now." And he says, "We need to do a lot of chemotherapy." And he says, "The only kind of chemotherapy that responds well to this kind of cancer at all is hypothermia treatments and chemotherapy." Well, I didn't know what that was, and it basically meant they're going to heat my body up and they're going to raise my temperature to 105 or even more, as high as they could without it harming me. And he says, also, he says, "We removed all of your lymph nodes in your right groin." And he says, "That's going to mean we're going to need a lymph drainage pump, because you're going to end up having a, you know, swollen leg, and you're going to have all these issues, and we don't want you to lose your leg, because you could really have a lot of problems." So he says, "You're going to need to do those treatments several times a day for months." And he says to me, he says, "You know, that's all I know to do at this point." And he says, "We've just got to get aggressive, and we'll start the chemotherapy as soon as you recover from the surgery, and that'll be 2 or 3 weeks from now, and you'll just stay in the hospital." So I'm there, and he says to me, he says, also, I asked him, I said, "What are my chances with this, you know?" And he says, "Well, you know, from my experience," they don't like to tell you, George, because they don't know for sure.
They don't, no.
They're guessing based on what they have seen in the past, and they usually won't even tell you at that point, but I kind of got it out of him, and I wanted to know. And he says, "Your chances of surviving this in most likely terms is it's a 20% chance of surviving 3 to 5 years, but," he says, "that's if you can get through these 80 treatments of chemotherapy alive."
If that doesn't kill you, yeah.
I know, and here you are, 32 years old, you're laying there, and this guy tells you you got 3 to 5 years, and that's like if you're lucky, and, you know, and if you can get through these treatments. And I'm thinking, that's not very good odds for someone like me that thought I had life by the tail. And now I'm sitting here looking at this, and I'm stressed out and you know, just a ball of fear and stress. So I'm laying there, and I said, "There's got to be something else I can do." And I just didn't know. And I'm laying there, and I'm feeling really depressed, and you know, the nurses come in and out, and I'm depressed. And so they thought, you know, this guy, poor guy, you know. And so all of a sudden, you know, after a few days, I got a telephone call. Just out of the blue, just here comes a phone call ringing. I answered the phone. Here I'm laid in the hospital on morphine because of the pain from the surgery, and I'm just kind of out of it. I answered the phone. And it's a minister of a church I went to from time to time. And he says, "James," he says, "I'm so sorry to hear you're in the hospital and you've got this cancer. And you know, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I want you to know that many people in town," and I lived in a smaller town in Texas there, and he said, "they're praying for you also." And he says, "I want you to know that if anybody can beat this cancer, you can." He says, "You've got what it takes." I was a runner. He was a runner. He was an ex-professional baseball player. And he says, "Look, you know, you just gut it up. You know, you get down on all fours. You knock heads with it." And he says, "I know you can beat it." And he said one thing at the end, and he was, you know, kind of pepping me up, kind of like you're in the locker room at halftime,
exactly.
You know, when your team's behind in a football game or something.
Without the profanity, right?
Yeah. And I was, like, shocked. And I'm like, my God, I never heard him talk like this. And he says, "You beat this SOB in cancer." he hung up.
Now, did you undergo the chemo at all?
I did. And I started the chemo after the 3 weeks. And it was the worst thing I've ever done, because they really get your temperature up really, really high. And I mean, you have
they almost cook you
on top of you.
At what point did you stop the chemo? Earlier than the treatment, full treatments, or did you do it all?
Here's the thing, George. I stopped the chemo because it wasn't really working for me. The doctors kept telling me my body wasn't responding. I was getting sicker and sicker. I couldn't eat. I was, throwing up and just.
Did you lose your hair?
My hair, they gave me this cap on my head. It was like freezing cold. It was like an ice cap back then, and I lost some of my hair, probably half of it, but it was supposed to keep it from falling out. But I started these treatments, and they do five at a time because, you couldn't do more than that. It made you so sick because of that, and it was give you a typhoid serum to get that temperature up, and then they'd give you this 8 hours of drip of a chemotherapy drug. And so it was pretty rough, but I knew that I needed to find another answer. I knew that. And after that call, I began praying. And I wasn't one of these guys that prayed a lot, George. I wasn't one of these real religious guys, but I tried to do the right thing. I was a decent guy, and I prayed harder than I've ever prayed. And I felt like every cell in my body was praying, like yearning for help. And all of a sudden, after that prayer, I got a knock on the doors about 20 minutes later. Here comes a friend of mine, and he comes through the door, and he's waving these papers, and he's saying, look, he says, I heard you had cancer, and it's a friend I hadn't seen in 7 years. He comes through the door, and he says, I heard that you had cancer, and I found out about this fellow that healed himself of cancer using a diet and lifestyle. And I thought you might be interested in that. Well, I instantly knew I was supposed to do what he had in his hand. Like, that was my answer. It just kind of, like, felt like that's my prayer had been answered. And so I ended up getting him to go out and get this book this guy had written about his recovery from cancer. And it inspired me so much that I thought, if he could do it, then why couldn't I do it? And here I'm laying there. And I just got excited all of a sudden. I had a little hope start to rush through my veins, I guess you could say. And I felt like, hey, if I can just get out of here, I'm going to do this. And I'll do the chemotherapy, of course. I'll do it all. A little's good, a lot's better.
Sure.
But then I get two more knocks on the door in two more days. One was a book that came to me about vitamin C and cancer, about how people had overcome cancer using high-dose vitamin C, and it was by a fellow by the name of Linus Pauling.
Oh, yeah.
People our age would probably recognize that. He was a biochemist and won two Nobel Prizes.
He was a giant.
Yeah, he was big, and he did a lot of research with cancer and heart disease and vitamin C. And I thought, if it'll help these people, and a lot of them survived for a long time when they took high-dose vitamin C, some even got well, I thought, well, if it'll help them, then I'll do this too. Well, now I've got two weapons in my pocket here. So the next day, I get another knock on the door. Here comes the psychotherapist through the door. The doctor had told him that this guy's depressed. You should go see this guy. He says, look, I'd love to talk to you. He says,
and how depressed were you, James?
Oh, I was really depressed.
No. And
felt like my wife had left me at this time, and I wasn't the same guy anymore. I'd lost my ambition. I'd lost my desire.
She left you when you were sick?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to
and
hear that.
I wasn't, a good guy to be around anymore.
I guess she couldn't take it.
Frustrating, yeah. Couldn't take it, I'm sure, but she did that, and it broke my heart at the time, and it sort of took the wind out of my sails, even on a higher level. So this guy, though, comes in, he tells me, he says, I'd like to talk to you. And I said, well, yeah, so I'll talk to you. And he comes in, and I said, hey, have you ever heard about the macrobiotic diet and lifestyle? That was the diet I'd heard about. He goes, hold on a minute. And I thought he was leaving the room. And he goes and runs out and closes the door. He looks around and closes the door. He comes back in. He says, yeah, I've heard about it. And he says, I'll tell you what I know if you promise not to tell anybody we had this conversation. He says, I don't want to lose my job and my pension.
And his license.
Said, over this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got excited then because I thought, well, if he's doing this, it must be something to this. So he comes in, he shuts that door, he comes back, and he sits down next to me and starts telling me all these things he knew about it and how it helped a lot of people.
Hold on right there, James. We'll pick it up right after the break on Coast to Coast AM. We will take your calls and your inspirational questions next hour with James Templeton. His book is called I Used to Have Cancer. It's an amazing story. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, James Templeton with us. We will take your calls next hour with him. And if you're a cancer survivor and want to share your story, jump on board as well. So, James, at this point, you're looking for special diets, and you're doing this all by yourself, or did you have help?
Well, I did it by myself at the beginning, George, and after I decided that after the doctor told me, he says, my body wasn't responding, and he said there's nothing else he could do, I got a little aggravated and just walked out of the hospital at 2 in the morning and snuck out of the hospital kind of because I didn't want any more of that, and I said I'm going to do it my way or else. So I went on this diet after hearing all this positive news from the psychotherapist and this book that I was reading, and I started doing the diet myself. And you know, the macrobiotic diet, you don't hear a lot about it anymore. There's a lot of diets out there that everybody's talking about, and anti-cancer diets,
sure,
and this and that, but basically you want to get the sugar out. You know, that's the real key. And at the time, I didn't know a lot about the things. This has been over 35 years ago, and so I took this macrobiotic, I took every book I could read, and started doing it.
Do you know the name Edgar Cayce by any chance? Have you heard of
yes.
him? Okay, the American prophet. And he
yes.
said to prevent, not cure, but to prevent cancer, eat 3 raw almonds a day. Had you ever heard of that?
I have. I've heard of that, you know, and I guess it's because of the amygdalin, you know, in the raw almonds. You know, I'm thinking it's kind of like the apricot pits. That
same thing.
You know, the B17 that's in those almonds, just like in the apricot pits. And I think it's a type of Laetril. It basically is. You know, the Laetril, and is done remarkable things for people. But you know, I was just kind of like do-it-yourselfer back then, and I ate this diet, and the diet was. I mean, it was powerful. You know, it's a very powerful diet if it's done the right way. There's a right way and a wrong way to do something. But you have to do your homework and read about it. But I did all of my cooking, and I used as many, you know, of the things that I thought would help me. And I just thrived on this, you know. And then I also did vitamin C, high-dose vitamin C, like Linus Pauling talked about. And
how many milligrams a day do you think?
Well, back then I was doing 20,000 milligrams a day.
Wow.
And
1,000's a lot.
Yeah, and well, you got to take at least 10,000 nowadays if you're going to get much good out of it orally at all, and you've got to take one that's very absorbable, high bioavailability, and there's a few out there that you can take that are up to 80% or more absorbed by the body, but you know, that's important because back when I was taking the vitamin C along with this powerful diet that I was on, you know, I didn't know much about it, but I found out later that I must have been doing something right because I was doing a time-released vitamin C that had lysine in it as a buffer, and it had quite a bit of lysine in it, and I was just buying it at the health food store. At that time, I was living in Dallas, Texas, And you know, as I went on in life, I mean, down the road and discovered, you know, why did this diet work so well for me and why did the vitamin C seem to work so well for me? And you know, it because my body absorbed it better, you know, and of course I've learned so much now, and I talk about this in my book and also on my foundation, Templeton Wellness, and I talk about all the things that I have discovered. And besides the vitamin C and the diet And but I've learned now that vitamin C does many things. You know, it helps build up the collagen and the connective tissue, and that's very important for fighting off cancer, because cancer, through a study that Linus Pauling did later on with a research partner by the name of Matthias Rath, was a doctor from Germany, and they did a study, a 15-year study, on vitamin C and cancer, and they took all these different types of people with cancer, like 24 different types, and they found that cancer is a collagen disease in this study, and it went on for 15 years, and they found that when you can build up the collagen with high amounts of vitamin C, lysine, which is an amino acid, proline, which is an amino acid, L-proline, L-lysine, and another extract is a EGCG, which is a green tea extract. And they did this study, and they had a certain amount in the matrix, you know, that people needed to take. But after that, I saw the results, and I think it was around 2008. And it, you know, they basically said that the cancer just had stopped, couldn't make its way through this connective tissue. And it found that the combination of these nutrients stopped the growth, the spread, the formation of new blood vessels, and caused the natural death to cancer cells, which they call apoptosis. And it was remarkable. And they found that it stopped many of these cancers 100% from being able to spread. And that right there got me very excited, and I understood now how I got well with taking high-dose vitamin C. Now, you'll hear people say that you can't absorb the vitamin C you need through a pill form, but this was all oral. This was all an oral thing, and it was a double-blind study, and it was a big study, and they tried to kind of push it under the carpet. And it's amazing how it's helped so many people. And just about everyone, George, that I talk to now that has had success with stage 4 terminal cancer, like what I had, and much worse than me, have used high-dose vitamin C, almost all of them. You know, it's almost like a healthy chemotherapy. It's amazing.
At what point, Jim, did they tell you were cancer-free?
Well, you know, it's about probably 3 or 4 years later, I went to a doctor, and he was kind of a different kind of doctor at that time, and he was on the East Coast where I was living and at that time, and it was about three or four years, and he says there's no signs of cancer in your body. I did some specialized marker tests for cancer back then, and there was no signs. Now, I didn't go back and do any more of the CAT scans and all that, and you know, at that time, I'd done plenty of that. I didn't want to do that anymore. That was just my experience. And I went to a doctor. He was an anthroposophical doctor that was trained in a school by a guy, Rudolf Steiner, which it was funny back then how the doctor said to me, he says, the reason you got sick was because your body and your spirit got separated. Because they believed in the mind body spirit connection, the Steiner doctors, and they treated cancer a little bit different, but they were regular medical doctors, but most of them were trained in Germany, and I just found that very interesting.
Since you've been doing this, I mean, are you still on the same program?
No, I'm not on the exact same program anymore. I was on this macrobiotic diet really strict. I mean, nobody was stricter than me. They said to chew your food 50 times a mouthful, and I did it 180, and that sounds crazy. But I would chew it until it was liquid, and the more I chewed, the more enzymes it produced, the more all this fiber turned into good bacteria, increase the health of my gut flora, which is 70 or 80% of your immune system. And I knew about that back then, and so I thought, if a little's good, a lot's better. That was my motto, and I didn't want to cut any corners. But no, I don't do the diet the way I used to. I use pieces of it. I believe in the diet. It's been kind of pushed away, and the creator of the diets and the kind of the diet guru of the times, Michio Kushi, he's not with us anymore. And a lot of these things, these diets, even though they're still very successful if it's done properly, have been kind of phased out in a certain way. But I use a little more protein now. I like the fiber. I like the protein. Grains kind of got a bad rap, but these are whole grains. These are organic. Everything in this diet was organic.
How important is faith, Jim?
Faith is a big deal, because when you are going through something like this, you've got to believe in what you're doing. And I think the only way you really believe, it's not like it just happens. I think you believe because you start to see positive results. You start, after about 3 to 4 months, you start to see this positive results. You start to feel better. You start to have more energy. You start to sleep better. You start to, feel like almost high on life again. It's like a thing that happens. And when you feel that, you know you're on the right track. And it's kind of, I don't know if it's a God thing. I don't know what it is. I think it's got to be from the higher power. But, you know, I think prayer, meditation, visualization is huge. I mean, there's, talked about it in my book about a doctor that visualized his way back to health. And he just focused on this day after day after day, and he healed himself. So I believe 50% or more of healing from anything, especially something serious as cancer, is in your belief system and in your head. You have to have that system of belief that I can do it, and if I can't do it, nobody can do it kind of thing. I'm going to go down swinging and scratching and clawing kind of feeling, you know, to me. That's how I felt, kind of like I'm not going to give in to this. And if it doesn't work for me, it won't work for anyone else. And that's like the mentality, because it's kind of like the old thing, nice guys finish last a little bit. And I've seen a lot of people that didn't do well, and they kind of didn't, I don't think they got mad enough, you know, on a certain level. I'm not talking about mad, like, you know, throwing things. I'm talking about, you know, determined enough. And I see that people that do is like, this isn't going to stop me. You know, I'm going to show everyone. You have to have that kind of thing, almost like an athlete in a game or something. The best of the athletes are mind over matter.
What would you say are the 3 top things to stay cancer-free?
Well, you know, there's, I like,
if you can,
the top 3 things could be the long top 3 things, or it could be the short. But I like to always say that the 3 things that are so important in battling cancer, and this is not from what I learned back then, but from what I've learned today, and some of it goes back. But I would say if you had 3 things to categories, it would be diet, detox, supplementation, because you've got to have the right diet. And the right diet I did might not be the right one for...
And you need all 3 simultaneously?
You do, because you've got to take a diet that's organic and it's detoxifying, that's going to do the work for you. If you're only going to do, let's say we just did 3 things, and that would be eat a healthy diet that's going to be low in sugar, high in fiber, high in fermented foods, the right kind of fermented, the prebiotics, which is the fiber, which is, and that cruciferous vegetables, for example, are very anti-cancer. Allium vegetables, which most people know that cruciferous are broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, that family of foods.
It's common sense, isn't it?
It is, and it's, beating cancer is not, people go, well, you know, that doesn't make sense, but beating cancer's really not hard, I guess, on one level, but the hardest part's doing it. you've got to make up your mind that I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to do this, and you got to make changes. It's not like you can't go down and hang out and live your life like you did when you were 25 or 30. You've got to go out and you've got to do and take care of yourself, and you got to be serious enough to be willing to do whatever. But if I was going to do three things, it would be I would do the diet, a healthy diet that was low in sugar and had the right anti-cancer properties, and I would do vitamin C, high-dose vitamin C, IV vitamin C. I would do the high-dose. You can't get enough vitamin C.
I think your phone's going, by the way, Jim.
My phone is?
Yeah. Is it cordless?
No. No.
That's weird.
Can you hear me now?
I hear it, but did you hear that beep?
No.
You didn't hear that?
Mm-mm.
Wow, it was huge. I think we're going to switch to yourself for phone calls next hour, okay?
I'm in a hotel, George, and I'm on a landline, so, you know, I'm actually in New Orleans, but doing some hyperbaric treatments, research. But we can get into that. But
yeah,
I wanted to say the vitamin C, hopefully you can hear me, the vitamin C, and I would do an infrared.
No, that's not going to work. That's not going to work, Jim. We'll take care of you. We're going to call you back, and we'll get you on your cell phone for phone calls next hour here on Coast to Coast AM. And if you've had cancer yourself, folks, and you want to share your story of how you're doing, God willing, jump on board as well. But we'll be taking calls next hour here on Coast to Coast. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And the name of his book, which is fascinating, I Used to Have Cancer, How I Found My Own Way Back to Health. And it's pretty darn remarkable. It is one of a kind. He was on with me 3 years ago talking about this case as well. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.